I'm Elijah.
And I'm Ruby.
And welcome to Rough Edges.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Rough Edges. It is 2022. Happy New Year. Sorry we haven't been back for a little while, but we're joined by a very special guest, Michelle, and she's going to share a testimony. So we're going to get straight into it. So if you don't mind, Michelle, you share your testimony.
Okay. Hi, Ruby. Hi, Elijah. Thank you for this opportunity. So I'm going to read my testimony. It's actually typed out on paper. So I was baptised on the 18th September 2011. And I may sound a little bit robotic on here, and it's only because I'm reading from a sheet. So if I were to think back to when I was a child, I can almost feel the emotions from the different stages of my life. As a small child, I felt alone. I could quite easily think of something and it would happen. This seemed quite normal to me. I never questioned this. Innocence can be a beautiful gift when you are a child because you don't attach these things to anything. I always had an interest in astronomy, things that were alien to me. I felt quite comfortable with family. So as I progressed into my teenage years, I found those were some of the hardest times of my life. I was not prepared for what lay ahead of me, and I felt lost, confused, with no support or guidance due to the lack of support from my family. But I always felt a huge presence around me, a presence far greater than myself. I had a high void in my life. As a teenager, so as time passed, I took an interest in the spirit world. I was brought up around different religious backgrounds in which I had no understanding. I experienced Catholicism, Jehovah's Witness. I was christened at the age of 3 months, Church of England, Protestant. This had no meaning to me. I was more familiar with storytelling, with the spirit world told by family members. So I was drawn to Reiki, so I become a Reiki healer, which then led to a shamanic healing. So I was an initiated shaman. As time passed, I found that I could not truly give myself 100% into what I was doing. I found no peace, although the shamanic world is very real, without going into too much detail. I met someone 12 years ago who actually is still in my life today. His name is Andre. He's a very kind, caring, supportive, without judgment to me. I was not aware at the time that he had been praying for me and asking God to save me from this new age spiritualism. After I became an initiated shaman, I took on another course after that. It was called Soul Regeneration. I remember distinctly it was a Saturday afternoon, and the group of people I was with, we took part in a healing journey, a journey to the spirit world. I will never forget the vision, the emotions that were attached to what came before me. In the void of my journey, I saw a vision of Christ Jesus. My journey was filled with his presence. I can even tell you the colours in which I saw. So his gown was completely purple. It's not like a colour that you see in the world that we are now, but it's like in the spirit world, you see colours quite differently. So it was purple, and his head was like it was just light. That's all I remember at the time. It was just light. And it was so powerful. And my heart was beating so fast, and I thought, how do I explain my journey to the group? And it made me feel quite isolated. So I decided at that point I would not say anything. So the emotions that were running through me, So I knew at that point what I was doing was wrong. As each person in the group had finished talking, my turn had come to share my journey. I was shaking. Then as I spoke, I could not hide what I had seen or experienced. This gave me, I felt relieved. But I could see by the expressions in the group, this was so completely opposite to what we were doing. So when that weekend had passed, I knew I could no longer continue with this course, and it really did repulse me. At that point, I knew that I had literally gone through a shift. So in the months that followed, I went through almost an emotional breakdown. I had stopped all contact with the healing work and the people I had got to know, except for two people that were good friends at the time, but I have no contact with them now. So I started praying, asking God to guide me to a church, a Christian church, where I would feel that I wanted to wake up every Sunday morning, go to church and be among God's people. I wanted to feel whole, complete. The huge presence I felt around me as a child, though to where I stand right now today, I now know it was God who had been with me all of my life. So through my experiences, some I have no regrets, some I cannot justify. I do not stand here today to glorify my past, but rather stand here in the glory of God's presence. My experiences have helped me to understand the difference between the spirit world and God, our Father, that nothing surpasses him. He is the Almighty. I am humbled in his presence. For me being here, to be standing here today, the day, oh, if I speak, 2011 was the day of my baptism, without a shadow of a doubt, was the right path for me. So I want, I need, and I seek God's word and to grow in his wisdom and his knowledge for the rest of my life. Now I know faith only comes through believing and trusting in God.
So
that was my testimony that I wrote down in 2011. Yeah. I'll try to adapt it a little bit there.
It's so good.
Brilliant. And so we're going to go on to questions about what you've just told us. So my first question for you is all the spiritual world bad?
I wouldn't say it was good because it's not of God. And even though what I was doing and what I was involved in, I'd kind of been involved from this world from a very, very young age. So for me, I didn't know any different. But I always tried to do things in the light, not knowing that world is dark. And so I would never say that world is a good world, even though it can present itself in that way. I wouldn't say it was a good world to be in.
Yeah.
No. Not when you kind of get to know who God is and, you know, completely different world.
Yeah, that's good. It feels like now lots of people do, like, crystals and tarot cards and, like, some people, like, I don't know, they could say it's like a doorway into it, but is it bad? Is it, like...
You mean into the spirit world?
Yeah.
Crystals?
Yeah,
I mean... Okay, when I was a Reiki healer, we would use the crystals like for alignment, divination and stuff like that. This is my personal opinion. I know maybe some Christians or some churches may not agree with this. I still have crystals in my house, but that's only because I like the things that God made. I like the things that he's created. I don't use them for divination or anything like that. But then there's many different spirit worlds. Not every new age spiritualism like world is based around crystals. You know, you have things like tarot cards and stuff like that. But then you do also have people that are in the church that are involved in paganism and crystals because for some reason they think it's okay, but it's not really okay, and the Bible's pretty clear on that also.
How has your journey been getting out of the darkness of that world that he was living in?
It wasn't easy for me. As I said, just a while ago, it's something that I it was something that I grew up in that world. And my dad was a Catholic. My mum was Church of England. But neither of them were practicing when we was growing up as a child. So I grew up a lot around storytelling and stuff like that. So growing up, I think that world was quite a natural world for me. When I did give my life to the Lord, that is when the darkness started to present itself. Because when I was in that world, even though I did everything in the light, because I believe in doing good things. I don't see myself as a dark person or a malicious person, but that world is very, it's full of deception and it's deceiving. And the spirit world can shift and it can shape into anything it wants to be. And so when I did actually give my life to the Lord, that's when the darkness came after me.
Mm.
And it really did. I mean, I could be in my waking state and see the demons. They would present themselves at the bottom of my bed. I'd watch them moving around. I'd see my pictures would start to come to life. There were so many things that I would see. And but this was all to draw me back, because I think he knew. And I think even with the devil, when you speak things out, then he hears you.
Mm.
But when it's in your mind, he doesn't hear you. Only God knows that.
Mm.
So for me, you have to be really careful when you're speaking things out, and you have to have God's armour. You have to have protected yourself before you speak about these things.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit of a struggle. It was a struggle for me, because it wasn't even something I could take to my church at the time, because the church is just not equipped for stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, when I was reading my testimony, it's not something that should be glorified. But it definitely is something. If you've lived in that world before you gave your life to the Lord, we should be able to go to our elders, our pastors or priests or whichever it may be. And because that is something, that's not an easy thing to offload when you've been brought up into it, especially when you're like a baby Christian.
Mm.
And you've got no one there nurturing you through that process. And I found that quite difficult.
Mm. Yeah. And even like, so there's probably some people that are listening being like, I've got all this baggage, how do I get rid of it? Like, so like go and speak to people that hopefully they're equipped and like.
Yeah. I think one of the things that helped me is when, for the first time, because being at East End Church now and doing Freedom in Christ, I jumped on that
because
it was an opportunity for me to speak out. And it's funny because even like doing the course, when you speak out these things, because like the first page of the book, it does kind of go into the occult, things that you've been involved with. There's loads of boxes you can tick, and I think I ticked more or less most of them. Really? And I even added some.
Yeah, really. Because
being a shamanic, being a shaman, that was not in the book. So it goes a lot deeper than just tarot cards.
Yeah.
And but it was an opportunity, because what Freedom in Christ does, it allows you to speak out if you have the courage to speak out. And that's where that bondage, it starts to fall off you. And I think even with Freedom in Christ, I think one of the hardest things, there's questions, but I think if you're going to speak out and you don't know what to speak out, start with the hardest thing first.
Yeah, wow.
Because then when you do the hardest thing, then everything else just kind of comes out.
Yeah.
And and it gives you the confidence, and that is what helps you to grow in the Lord. For my personal opinion, is when you're able to release yourself from bondage, it's only then that you can really allow God to come and do works in your life.
Mm.
You know,
and was there an inkling to go back into the spiritual world?
No.
Yes.
No. I think, you know, I think when you've kind of worked in that, in my experience, I think for me, coming out of that world and then experiencing the darkness from that world coming after me, because I've now given my life to the Lord, that is a definite no-no. Because then I see, that's when I saw the darkness.
Mm.
That's when the darkness started to show itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so no, why go to the darkness when you can live in the light?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why do you think so many people are deceived about other spiritual worlds? And what do you think, what advice would you give to people who are in that world and they don't know what they're doing?
Well, I think for my experience, I didn't know what I was doing. I thought what I was doing was the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when I went on to do, in 2010, when I did another course called Soul Regeneration, and that was after I'd become initiated as a shaman. And when it was explained to me, this course, even then I thought, oh, it's a little bit strange, but I've signed up and, you know, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. But it didn't, it never always sat comfortable with me. So basically, same kind of thing, you go into an altered state and you go into the lower worlds, you go into like a different world, and then you have like these, they're fairies and what they do. So you're kind of floating around in the universe, and they come and take your navel, like your cord, and they start to take it out of your body and they pull it. And then what they're doing is they want to replace it with a caretaker. It's just really not good stuff.
Mm.
They want to replace it with a caretaker. And so your soul kind of goes on a holiday, is which how it was explained to me. And that is when I experienced Christ in my void. And the way he presented himself, it was like everything within that journey at that point just came to a standstill.
Mm.
And then when we all came out of that journey, there was loads of us, all women, sitting in a huge circle. And the teachers, Elsa and Howard, they would have this stick which they would pass around. And then you would explain your journey. And all I kept thinking was, there is no way I can say what my experience was, because this is not what I'm here for.
It was so
I can't even explain to you the feeling that I had, because it was during that journey that I'd gone through a shift. And but when that, as soon as that stick was put in my hand, it just came out and I had no control over, and I just had to say what happened. And and people in the group, they didn't, no one really responded. My tutors didn't respond, but there was one lady, I don't remember her name, she was a journalist, but during, she spoke out, and during our break, we went outside and we was having a chat, and she came up to me, and because she was actually singing in a choir in a church.
Really?
And but what I had said gave her the courage to speak out in the group.
Wow.
But no one came to speak to us.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then this was all that took place in Glastonbury. Anyway, that evening we left, went back to the hostel we were staying in, went back on the Sunday, and I just knew that I didn't know what I was doing there while I was there. I just knew I was in the wrong place. And I remember, I think my teacher, Howard, at the time, I think he knew something wasn't quite right, because I didn't participate Sunday, and all I wanted to do is just drum, because that's what we used to do. We used to drum, and so the drumming is to do with the heartbeat of the earth, and that is when you go into the altered state by using drums. And I just remember hearing the most incredible voices of singing, of Indians singing. And as I opened my eyes, he looked at me and he said, I can hear them too, Michelle. And I just thought, I'm just not in the right place. Anyway, I left that Sunday, and to this day, I never went back.
Mm.
I didn't contact the teachers.
Mm.
And I just knew that I needed to find a church.
Mm.
That's all I knew. mm-hmm. I needed. I was desperate, in fact, because I just kept breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
And my body, my spirit literally went through a huge shift.
Mm.
And then, yeah, and it kind of all started from there.
Yeah. And how did you find a church from there?
So basically, I just kept asking God. And I remember coming out of Bethnal Green tube station one day. But before that, I remember my mum coming down one weekend and we went to Bethnal Green, like the little marketplace. There's a shop on the corner. And I saw that Helen Shapiro was actually advertising. For anyone that knows Helen Shapiro, she used to make songs in the 60s. And she was doing a talk at the Baptist Church in Mile End. And I decided to go along. I said to my mum, I've got to go and see what this is all about. So I did. And it turns out, I mean, she's Jewish. She basically found the Lord, had to break it to her father, which he wasn't too happy about. And she also sang in between her talks, so she's basically talking about her life, and I just felt so inspired by her. And then at the end of everything, she said, if anybody wants prayer, they can come down. So I thought, okay, I'm going down, and I waited, and I stood in front of her, and I just felt compelled to tell her everything that I'd been doing and what had actually happened to me in Glastonbury, to the point of seeing her name up in a shop.
Mm.
And she asked me, do I want to renounce everything? And I said, yes. And so at that point, she put her hands on me, she prayed over me, and I renounced everything that I'd ever done. And she gave me a booklet, which is four stories based on four people in separate parts of the world that were involved in different spiritual practices, and how each one of them found the Lord, which is really incredible, really inspiring. And then after that, I continued to go to work. And then one day I came out of Bethnal Green tube station, and I was just so desperate still for a church. And then as I walked down to St. Barnabas, as I turned, walking past Victoria Park Baptist Church, and I could not believe, because I thought that church was always closed, because I haven't seen it open for years. And then I saw something called the Alpha Course, and I was like, this must be a sign. So I took the number off the board outside the church and called Jane, who was the pastor there at the time, and she invited me, and that's where I went on a Sunday.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And how does God continue to grow you?
I think he continues to grow me because you really have to be humble. You really have to be quite selfless in things that you do, which isn't always easy. And for me, the biggest thing, even growing up, love is the most important thing to me. And I just know that even speaking to my dad, he's not here now, but whenever I used to call my dad, and he loved the Lord and he loved Jesus, and he always used to say to me, God is good and God is love. And that kind of says everything, really, because he is good. He's good all the time.
Mm.
He never changes. He never goes back on his word. He's constant, and he always loves, and he's my biggest inspiration, I would say. Yeah,
that's so good. Is there any like final words or anything, like if they didn't listen to the rest of this podcast, what should they take away of like your final words?
I just think it's really I would say that that God pursues you before you even make a decision to give our life to the Lord. He pursues you, because he's always pursued me. There is one last story I'd like to tell you. when I was practicing down in Glastonbury, I was still having tarot card readings, and I remember making an appointment. I used to go to the one in Covent Garden. It was called Mysteries. They've now moved, but basically they used to have a group of people upstairs, the top of the shop. It was there from the 1970s, and they used to do readings up there. And I remember one day, still during my time of doing this course to become a shaman, I thought I need to go for a reading, so I did. And I remember going upstairs, had my appointment, sat down with this lady, and she pulled the curtain around, she laid out some cards, and she just looked at me, and there was a pause for quite some time, and she said to me, what's your relationship with Jesus? And I said to her, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. I've just come here for a reading. This went on for almost an hour. You've walked with Jesus. You do know what your relationship is with him. And I got so stressed out. I couldn't answer her question. And to the point where, in the end, she actually said to me, I can't read for you because they won't allow me to.
Wow.
And I left there that day. There's a bit more to it than that, yeah, but basically that's kind of what happened. And I remember leaving there that day and I was walking along the street in Covent Garden thinking, what was that all about? Mm. Why was she asking all those questions? So he's always pursued me. Do you know what I mean? So I think we have to be really mindful. It's really important to know God. It's so important to know the light and to be in the light. But I think it's also important to know the darkness, because sometimes we can be in the darkness and we think what we're doing is good, or we may think what we're in is good, and it's not. And it's not there to be glorified, the darkness. But I do think it's something that needs to be spoken about, because I've spoken my testimony to a few people, and a lot of people, they don't know about my past. But when I speak about certain things, people, they can associate with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because it's something that, it's like a taboo, like you were saying, Elijah. You're not, you can't speak about certain things. Whereas we should be able to speak about these things in order to know how to get through it if we're going to walk in the light. So for me, I just think it's important to know that.
Yeah, I really like that a lot.
Yeah.
And I really like how it wasn't like Jesus didn't come along and say, what you're doing is really bad. He just showed himself. It's just like really kind that he was like, it wasn't you were told off, you were just brought into the light. Yeah. Like through him just showing himself.
Yeah, that's right. Because I thought I was in the light, but he knew I wasn't. Yeah. So he actually, like you say, he brought me into the light. But also, you know, it's that bondage thing. If we're going to be released from bondage and to really be able to do God's work, we should be able to be open to speak freely about our life, whether it's dark or whether it's light. But the light is there to be glorified. God has to be glorified in everything that you do and what you speak. It's like they say, there's a thing that I read where it says, if you want to unlock someone's prison, then you have to be able to speak out, because prison is an illusion at the end of the day. You know, if you can speak freely and break yourself out of that prison, that bondage, then it will help someone else to do the same thing. You know, so there we have to be able to release these things, but glorifying God in everything that we do, because everything is a blessing. Every storm I've gone through has actually made me stronger. It's given me more courage, and that's only by God's grace. That can only be by the grace of God that does that. And it's important to be able to have the freedom of speech and to speak out, but God always comes first.
So good.
Well,
thank you so much for being on
the podcast.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Really
appreciate
that. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks.